Are we being tested? Does God really do that to us? Lead us into temptation? Force us into temptation? Well, in order to understand what is happening to Jesus today and how we can interpret this for our lives, we must start at the beginning. And I mean the very beginning, with Genesis. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the Genesis reading today is part of one of the stories of creation found in Scripture. There are actually two creation stories in Genesis. Look it up. And this is the second one. Well, in the first creation story, man and woman are created exactly at the same time. But this is the second creation story where the woman is created after the man. And God tells the man not to eat of the tree in the middle of the garden before the woman is even created. So I'm just saying, could there have been a breakdown in communication? Well, that is a story for another sermon, but regardless, there is plenty of blame to go around, whether it is because the man didn't communicate well with the woman or not. Somehow, the snake's voice became louder than God's and has distracted God's creation. Now, God's instructions are not obeyed, and we see that humankind is forever plagued with the struggle of dealing with sin. Now, the important part of Genesis is to understand that we are created beings, created by a creator. We are not creators of the universe. We are not creators of the world. And I can only say that when I first became a Christian as a young adult and realized that I didn't create the world and I wasn't responsible for the universe, boy, was I relieved. I mean, literally, my shoulders were like this and I just went, ah. I can let go. I can let go, and I could actually give it up to God and ask God for help once in a while. Life-changing. So, we are created beings, and Scripture tells us today that we were created for a purpose, and that purpose, as we read in Genesis, is that we were placed in the garden to till the garden. Tilling the garden means that we are to take care of what we have been given. God already calmed the chaos in creation, and then all became good and beautiful. So in order to keep the chaos at bay, in order to live in beauty where all is good, we are to be obedient and till the garden. But I don't want you to get hung up or stymied by the word obedient. I like to break down the meaning of words very often. And the word obedient comes in part from a Latin word called audire. Think of the word audio. And audire means listening. So to be obedient is to listen. Remember I said that there were two creation stories in Genesis. Well, in the first creation story, God literally speaks creation into existence. God calls creation into being. Remember, we hear God, he says, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God says, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures," etc., etc. God calls creation and speaks creation into being. So as created beings, we are to listen for God's call. The renowned spiritual guide and theologian Henry Nouwen once said that the obedient life is one in which we listen with great attention to God's Spirit among us. To be obedient means to be constantly attentive of God's active presence and to allow God, who is only love, to be the source as well as the goal of all we think and do. In the gospel reading today, Jesus isn't forced into the wilderness by the Spirit. The Spirit alights on Jesus as he's baptized, and Jesus is led by the Spirit In other words, Jesus is called by the Spirit into the wilderness, not forced. Nowhere does it say that Jesus is left alone with the devil. Nowhere does it say that the Spirit just left him to fend for himself. Yes, Jesus fasts. He's hungry, probably very tired and cold, and is ultimately faced with temptations. But Jesus is strengthened by the Spirit, who never leaves him, so that he can heed the call of God to reject the evil that presents itself to us in the world, the evil that offers us shortcuts or seemingly easy pathways of power that are pathways usually lined with sins, things like hate and fear and cruelty and lies. Now, of course, this is the time of Lent, and we will hear a lot about sin in the coming weeks. But sin is not what God intended for us. And I've heard it said that sin is not a flaw in our humanity. It's just that when we sin, we are not fully human. Sin forces us to go low, to go down to the level of snakes, listening for the call of God, responding to the call of God helps us to go high, to take the high road back to being fully human. What happens then in Scripture is that where once God gave the man and the woman one rule, one law only, do not eat of a particular tree, and that rule was not obeyed, humankind then took it upon itself to create a whole complex system of external laws and rules to try to combat the power of sin and rein it in. But laws and rules can only go so far. What truly changes corruption and disobedience is a change of heart and an amendment of life. And this is where Jesus comes in. I don't know if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew told us that it's not enough that you cannot commit murder, but you can't even have anger in your heart. So we have to get to the source of our sins. We have to get to the source of our sins, and that source lies in our hearts. Our hearts are changed, are converted over and over again as we continually listen to God's call through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And the more we respond to God, the more our lives are transformed, and the more that we can go out and transform the world, and that's how it works. So in Lent, we are given this opportunity to take the time for reflection, for self-examination, to sit a bit in the wilderness, not alone, not in the dark, but to sit in the wilderness with the Spirit, engaging in prayer, intentionally giving our needs, our thoughts, our misgivings, our anger, giving it up to God. And the more we do that, the more we are able to forgive, the more we are able to love, the more we are able to stay committed to the things that matter, like justice and gratitude, and the more we will be focused on all the other beautiful trees in the garden, the many gifts that God has given us already, the more we will be able to till the garden we have been given and not reach for that one tree we really don't need, the one tree that will separate us from the call of God and the response to God. I tell kids this all the time when they ask me, what is sin? And I say, well, spell it out. And when you spell out sin, S-I-N, sin is really I in the middle. When we put ourselves in the middle of everything, When we only think of our own benefit, very often we sin by making bad decisions. The devil tempts Jesus with individual power, which would take him away from God's purpose. But Jesus, strengthened by the Holy Spirit, fails to succumb. So I'm going to conclude by coming back to my original question. Does God force us into temptation? Well, God may call us to do different, difficult things, or to do things that we may not have asked for, but God doesn't put tests in front of us to see if we will fail. God does not bring challenges on us to force us into disobedience because we are just horrible people. The world tests us over and over and over again. Now, God may call us in ways that challenge our perceptions that we have that may be misguided, but as the Spirit called Jesus to the wilderness and Jesus responded to the call, so too are we being led by the Spirit when we actively listen. So I want you to remember today when we pray the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. We're not asking a mean God to not force us into being tempted by the devil. What we are asking for is for God's help. Help us to not be led into temptation. Give us this day our daily bread and lead us not into temptation. Our daily bread may just be the entire Garden of Eden, save for one single tree. And we must ask ourselves, why isn't the entire garden enough? Whereas Ash Wednesday reminded us of our mortality, today we remember our birth as created beings, children of God, with a specific purpose, the purpose of tilling the garden. And for each of us, that may look different. So Lent gives us the opportunity to focus our attention on listening to how we can best do this, a time to slow down. The season of Lent is actually a gift of the church, to remind us to take the time to listen to God's call. Lent is not a barometer to measure how badly we are at being human, but to see where the Spirit is guiding us so that we can be more fully human. Amen.